Hello and welcome to the call. I'd like to give you a little information about how the call will work and then we'll get started. I'd appreciate it if everyone would kindly hit the 6 button on your phone so we can mute all background noises, and that's everyone except our guest. And at the end, we can take a few questions at that time, and I'll ask you to push the 6 again so we can hear you. The format for the call is simply that I will interview our guest, Carol White, about jumpstarting our road trip dreams. And when we're finished the interview, I'll open the lines for questions. So let's get started. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dotsy Bregel, founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found at nabbw.com. And then we also have a sister site, which is boomerwomenspeak.com, and they are the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I am passionate about educating and empowering boomer women, which happens to be my generation. And I also just like to share that we have sponsors at the association which allow us to do lots of great things. And those sponsors are Dolans.com. So if you're interested in excellent financial information that will encourage you to live a more financially responsible midlife, we recommend that you visit Dolans.com through our site. And then we're also sponsored by Elations, which is a daily drink supplement that offers relief for joint aches and pains. And it's an alternative to taking the big vitamin-type pills. And you can learn more about that at www.elations.com. And you can find them just by going to our site. You'll see their ads there. Okay, since launching Boomer Women Speak over 5 years ago, I've been connecting, encouraging, and supporting Boomer women on a daily basis, and I feel like I have my finger on the pulse of this spirited generation. I dedicate a great portion of my time to creating opportunities that inspire women to explore their passions and live life to the fullest. We offer these teleseminar series. We have an editorial calendar this month. Our topic is travel. We got our 12 topics by surveying our members to find out what they were interested in learning more about at midlife. So this month, our focus is on travel, and we are beginning our series today with Carol White, who's the author of Live Your Road Trip Dream. And but before we get started, I also just wanted to mention that if you go to nabbw.com, you'll also find that Carol Sorgan is our travel expert, and she has done tremendous traveling across the United States and abroad, and she's written lots of articles for us, which you can find under her name on the NABBW site. Okay, let's see. I mentioned that this is the first in our Girls Just Want to Have Fun series. But be certain to follow your newsletters and your updates to learn about the upcoming teleseminars that will also pertain to traveling. And some of them will have to do with traveling with grandchildren, travel safety, and also finding a perfect person to travel with. If you're someone who's at midlife and don't necessarily have a travel partner, someone's launched a site that can help connect you with a good travel buddy. Okay, let's get started by introducing our guest, Carol White. Carol, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, good.
Hi, Dotsy.
Hi. All right, let's see. Carol has lived her road trip dream with her husband, Phil, and she became an expert at dreaming and doing. Now, first with planning their great American adventure, and now producing and marketing their book. And Carol has a really interesting story because she is definitely a story of midlife reinvention, which we are hearing so much about with the boomer generation marching towards retirement and considering, you know, what they want to be when they grow up. She had the good fortune to retire early from her everyday work world, and now she helps others make their dreams come true. So they have a trip that they detailed in their book, Live Your Road Trip Dream. It was a year. It took a year for them to take, learn, research, and plan stages. And then it also took a year to execute that adventure. And she's going to tell us a little about that. But the funny thing is that Carol really comes from a sales and marketing background. She retired from Lucent Technologies in 1999. So her 35 years in the computing and telecommunications fields with Lucent and AT&T have gained her a wealth of experience. And she has taken a lot of that experience and put it towards this midlife reinvention, because I really don't think that when Carol retired and chose to take this trip, that she realized there was a book and, gosh, many speaking engagements and opportunities that laid ahead of her. So, Carol, you want to tell us a little bit about how all that happened, the retirement and the reinvention, and were you aware of that reinvention at the time that it was happening?
That was definitely the last thing on my mind, having, you know, worked full-time for 35 years. We just decided that we wanted, before we kind of settled into a whole new lifestyle of community activities and grandkids and everything, that we wanted to live something that was our long-held dream, and that was to see the United States in something besides airports and convention centers. So we decided that before we really kind of settled into our new lifestyle, that we would take this trip that we'd always wanted to do. And little did we know that that would lead to a whole different thing. And it was really with the encouragement of people we met all along the way that would say, oh, we'd love to do what you're doing, but what did you do about? And then their list of roadblocks would begin, whether it was because, you know, what would I do with my house? Who would take care of my mom? What about the grandkids? You know, people start thinking about all of these things that would keep them from doing something like that. So after having that conversation time and time again all around the United States, when Phil and I were kind of winding up our year-long trip, we started thinking, you know, God, there's a lot of people that would love to do this, and it's been such a fabulous experience. How can we help others to do the same thing? You know, obviously people want to do this, but they can't quite figure out how to get themselves out of their everyday life to do it. So that was when we decided, well, let's maybe look at writing a book. I mean, I first kind of thought a notebook or something, you know, kind of simple, but I don't do anything just kind of half done. You know, I jumped right in and tried to figure out how would I really do this and make it something that could be helpful to people and be a real success story. So that's how Live Your Road Trip Dream came to be.
And tell us what's in the book. Like, just give us a little bit about what is included in the book. Just so we have an idea of that, and then we'll carry on with the teleseminar.
Okay, sure. The book is really divided into two halves. The first half of the book is the how-to part of it, and that goes into everything from budgeting for your trip, you know, how do you handle the psychological pieces of it with your friends and family and grandkids, to what kinds of technology should you take on a trip like this, and all the practical things. How are you going to pay your bills? What if you have an accident along the way? All of those kinds of how to, the get out of the house and onto the road kinds of issues. Then the second half of the book, which I originally wasn't going to do, but people who had kind of proofread the first part said, you need to tell people a little bit about your trip just so that they can visualize what being on the road for some extended period of time would be like. So I went back through, I had done a website while we were gone, so I went back through all of the journal things that I had done for the website and tried to pick out those things that I thought were kind of aha moments or teaching moments or things that people would relate to. I didn't try to do any of the, you know, where to go, what to see, because I believe everybody has their own road trip dream and should do the things that interest them, not the things that interested us.
Right.
So so the second half is, it's excerpt from our actual journal that we kept on the road trip, but, you know, tightly condensed into things that we thought might be particularly helpful to people.
Okay, very good. Now, we've talked a little bit about this, but just to tell you some more about Carol, because she's presented seminars on various lengths about this topic in really diverse settings, such as AARP's Life at 50 Plus National Convention. She's also presented at the Great North American RV Rally, because you were in an RV, right?
We were in a very small RV, a van, yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
A van-type RV. Uh-huh. Not
All
one
right.
of those great big ones.
Right, okay. She's done things at bookstores, community centers, AAA, athletic clubs, and community college adult education classes. And then in 2007, the Whites were named as national spokespeople for the Recreation Vehicle Industry Association to represent the baby boomer audience in the Go RVing campaign, because this is becoming big. And this is what's really interesting, because boomers are at midlife and some are reinventing, some are retiring, taking time to do something before they do, you know, taking time to travel before they do something else. And really, RVing is becoming very popular. And so I'm sure that they love just getting a hold of you and your husband.
And we have a great time, you know, doing the Go RVing thing for them, because, as you say, it is becoming really popular. It's changing also. You know, we used to think of RVing as being, you know, people in these great big RVs, and they kind of, you know, go one place for the winter, and then they travel around. A lot of them, you know, see it as an inexpensive way to travel, but the boomers are seeing it as a whole different thing. They're buying the upscale RVs. They're buying places, you know, campground associations that have nice amenities. They'll take off and use that as a basis to do, you know, much more active things, whether it's bicycling trips or mountain climbing or river rafting. They use this as a means to get there and be able to have all their things around them.
Now, and how about groups of boomers? Are you seeing that at all, like a bunch of friends using one RV and going on the trip together?
Or even caravans of RVs.
Or caravans,
you know,
yeah,
we have some friends that are big bicycle enthusiasts, and they'll take off, you know, four or five or six RVs full of them and go to the wine country, for instance, and bicycle through the wine country and do wine tasting and come back to their RVs at night, you know. So yeah, there's lots of that kind of very active things going on in the RVing community, too.
And now, are these RVs that people own, or some are being rented?
Some are, you know, what happens, I think, Dotsie, is people are intrigued by the idea of it, and maybe they even go with somebody else in their RV, but pretty soon they're thinking, gee, what would I like to have? How would I pick my RV, you know?
Right.
And so they'll rent a couple of different kinds. One of the things that was very interesting at the AARP convention was the Go RVing booth had one of the new small Class B ones in mm-hmm. it. And people were going, I never knew there was such an RV, because it looks like a, you know, a big SUV or something, and yet you've got everything that you need, you know, the cold water in the refrigerator and a king-size bed in the back and a LCD TV and a full bathroom on board, you know, so, and yet it's economical and easy to drive. So this whole smaller RV thing is becoming quite a phenomena, too, with the boomers.
Very cool. I think it's great. Well, okay, so I'm sure that when you retired, you weren't expecting all of this, but how fun to have something that you're really passionate about, because I know that you've also had articles about your experiences in, like, USAtoday.com, the Boston Globe, San Francisco Chronicle, ABCNews.com, and RoadTripAmerica.com, and then also in the RV publications across the country. So,
yes, we've been very fortunate.
Yeah, it just sounds like timing was everything. And then, you know, how smart to take something that you really enjoyed and kind of turn it into a job here on the side.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Carol, when she's not traveling, she really enjoys golfing, photography, Sudokus, community activities, yoga, and most of all, her 8 grandchildren. And, you know, Carol will also tell you some of her neat ideas about traveling with grandchildren, which is going to be another teleseminar done by Pat Burns, who wrote the book Grandparents Rock. But tell us your idea, Carol, about when you begin taking the grandchildren traveling. What is the stipulation?
Ah, well, we have 8 grandchildren and one on the way, actually, due in September. So when the oldest ones got to be, 8, 9, 10, we thought, how fun would it be to take them on a trip? And we made the stipulation that they had to be 48 inches tall, and we would take them to Disneyland so they could go on the big rides. Well, that was great fun, and that went on for a couple of rounds of kids, and we only take cousins, never siblings, because we think that that's a great bonding time, and it keeps the fighting to a bare minimum, too.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and once we kind of decided that maybe Disneyland wasn't necessarily where we wanted to take them, it became a kind of, the 48 inches became a rite of passage. When you were 48 inches tall, you could go with Grandma to, someplace wonderful. So this year we have one who's been 48 inches for a couple of years, and encouraging her next cousin in line to hurry up and be 48 inches, eat your spinach, so that we can go. So this year, the little one has finally made 48 inches, so we're taking them to San Diego in July. So we're looking forward to it.
Very good. And, I've got to say, travel is so important for relationships. I think we don't have grandchildren yet. We just have 3 children. But my husband has always, every year, taken each of our kids away alone. And
perfect.
It's something that they've always done, and they've always looked for it. Forward to, and it started out as like a night at the beach or a night at an amusement park that wasn't too far away, etc. And it has turned into, my daughter who loves the sun, he took on a cruise, and then, my son who was a skateboarder and loves film, they went out to California, and then my other son who loves sports, they've been to like Final Four and, the Masters and things like this. So it's just been so good because they're just memories that they'll never forget,
And I think that's the great thing with grandchildren is it's not our job to raise them.
Mm-hmm.
What we see as our job is to create memories for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't give them a lot of things, but we take them a lot of places and try to create those memories so that when they grow up, they really remember Grammy and Grandpa,
Yeah, that's great. And plus with kids families living so spread out, it's just kind of neat to, you can live in different countries, you can live in different cities, but you can still travel together. Travel. Okay, let's talk about brainstorming. Let's talk about a road trip. Like if somebody, they don't have to go for a year, but if they want to travel, just say cross country or just to do like New England or whatever, tell us about brainstorming, like what we want to do on the trip and then how to kind of get organized.
Well, I think brainstorming kind of is the beginning of how you get started on this. And one of the things we always suggest is you and your travel partner should take some time away, maybe go to your favorite spot at the beach or the mountains for a little weekend getaway and just start brainstorming. Gee, if we had a month or a year or whatever you're thinking about in time frame to take a long road trip, what are some of the things we'd like to do? Begin to formulate those ideas and create some excitement around it, and sometimes you uncover there what your differences of opinion might be about how this would go.
Right.
So you begin to understand if you're a good candidate to do something like this.
And do you recommend if you can't do it with your spouse? I mean, it seems to me that women are doing a lot of traveling together, girlfriends, sisters, those types of things.
We do. We did see a lot of women traveling together, unrelated women traveling together, or as you say, sisters and that sort of thing. We oftentimes saw them because they would have these smaller RVs, that they felt they could handle. So we always would stop and talk to the people that had the, vehicles similar to ours. So lots of women traveling solo. So it doesn't have to be with your spouse, certainly.
Right. Okay, so then you come up with a theme or two. Tell us about that.
Well, I think out of your brainstorming, we always say, gee, in a whole year we can go anywhere we want. Well, that's true, but in a year you can't go everywhere that you want. We found ourselves making decisions every single day about, places we would go or places that we wouldn't go. And one of the things that we found in retrospect, that we had decided we wanted to see all the national parks, we wanted to travel in every state, you know, so those kind of set some goals and direction for our trip and caused us to go places we maybe wouldn't have gone otherwise. Some of our national parks are in pretty out-of-the-way places. So we say pick a theme or two and make sure that it's things that you're both interested in doing. My husband's a big sports fan, so we included a lot of things like college football, going to some of the famous stadiums, golfing, going to the rock and or the football Hall of Fame, and you know, places like that, so that both of you keep your interest level high on the trip.
Yeah, and that's a great idea because I think like I know my husband and my especially my oldest son are real sports enthusiasts, and there are other fathers and sons who are the same, and they've done like trips to different stadiums and that type of thing. So the theme idea, I think, is really cool. Another person I know who is Italian, whenever they travel, they always check out the Italian restaurants everywhere they go. So whether it's a
great idea,
yeah, whether it's a trip that is for a year, or let's try cutting it back to just a week or two. What kind of theme could you go with for something like that?
Well, I think that, you know, then you're going to be in a more confined area. So you might pick up, maybe you both really enjoy wine and you're going to go to the wine country. Or maybe you want to do some photography kinds of things. So you pick an area that's beautifully photogenic. You know, many of our national parks, you know, fall into that category. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're a big antiquer, so you want to go look for the antique things that are part of what you enjoy. So, you know, doing your trip around something that you already love makes a lot of sense. We do a lot of golf trips because we're big golfers. One of our goals now is to golf every golf course in the state of Oregon, and there's over 200 of them.
But oh, my goodness.
We've now golfed, I think it's 154 of them. So, you know, we're getting pretty well along in that goal. So that takes us places that we wouldn't otherwise go to.
Wow. When do you rest? I mean, because really, that's a lot of different golf courses, and that requires travel. Now, I'm assuming your husband is also retired.
We are. We're both retired, and we've been working on this for years. We maybe knock off 4 or 5 or 6 new ones every year. Some of them just because we're going that direction to go somewhere else, and we say, "Hey, let's catch this golf course as we go." And other times, it's a concerted effort. We'll pick out 4 or 5 that in an area we haven't been, and go do them over a 4 or 5 day period. You know,
right.
So.
Right. And my husband and I are like that about beaches. Like, we just went to South Beach in Miami, and there were certain beaches in the area that we knew we wanted to check out. So we went to a few different beaches. And they're all different. And they're all beautiful. But it's fun just to, you know, see them all and compare them.
Yeah. So there you took, an interest that you have and built your trip around it. And that's, you know, what we suggest that you do. It'll help you focus, you know, what you're going to do versus what you're not going to do, because there's all kinds of things. We could go a whole nother year and never see any of the same places that we saw the first time around. There's so much to see in this country.
Right, right. Now, what about researching the ideas? Did you use the internet? Did you use books? What did you do? How did you do your research?
We use a little bit of all of those things. And, of course, once people hear that you're going to do something like that, oh, you've got to go here, you know, we loved it there. So we just started putting together a file folder, basically, of, you know, places that people told us about, things we'd stumble across on the internet, things we'd read about in the newspaper. And since we had, you know, several months to get this together, we accumulated quite a lot of good things during that. We bought some books, you know, about different things. One of our favorite one is one called Road Trip USA. Jamie Jensen that wrote it has kind of a quirky outlook on life, and he steered us in the direction of some things that were really fun that we never would have gone to otherwise. So there's lots of ways to do it. The internet, visitors' guides, subscribing to blogs and newsletters and that sort of thing. There's no end to the kinds of ideas that you can get.
Now, did you get a map and kind of like plan your trip out on the map, or how did you go about that? Figuring out where you were going to start, where you wanted to land, and
sure,
you know, everything in between.
Sure. Well, our number one piece of advice for people is do not overplan your trip. And we know that that makes people really uncomfortable because they go, oh, my gosh, where will I sleep tonight? But in a whole year, we never got, you know, didn't have a place to stay. You know, even in the summer in Yellowstone Park and stuff, we always either stayed in our van or stayed in a cabin or campground or, you know, there was always some place to stay. So we planned our trip in a very general way. We kind of said we're going to do the northern states in the summer, New England in the fall, down the eastern seaboard in the winter. We flew home for the holidays back to Oregon, left our van out there, you know, had them do a little, you know, maintenance kinds of things on it. Then we started back across the southern states and popped up into the Midwest and then down through the Southwest and back up the West Coast. We kind of said, okay, we've got 52 weeks. We're going to go home for a couple. So let's say it's 50 weeks. There's 48 states. So roughly we're going to have a week per state. Mm-hmm. So we kind of just lined them out so it would kind of keep us on pace. But, you know, for instance, Florida, we were in Florida the whole month of January. We started up at St. Augustine, Jacksonville, went all the way down and around and out the other side, you know. So some states we were not there for more than a night or two, and others we were there for a very long time.
Yeah. Now, when you talked about, you mentioned a book. Can you mention that book again?
Road Trip USA.
Okay, Road Trip USA. How about other books? Of course, there's yours, Live Your Road Trip, Jean. How about any other little secret books or websites that you use to do research and plan?
Sure. On our website, there's a whole list of books that we really like. It's under our resource tab.
Okay, and you want to tell us your web address?
Okay, roadtripdream.com.
Okay.
And there's a whole list of books there. One of the other ones that we kind of like small towns. We're not big on traveling on the interstate. So National Geographic puts out a book called Small Town Escapes, and we found some of those places to be really fun little places to go. The national park, if you're going to do national parks, which is a really common theme, I get a lot of people emailing me about the national parks. There's National Geographic, again, puts out a really nice National Parks book, so something like that. So depending upon what it is you want to do, you know, pick up some books that kind of go with that.
Mm-hmm.
As for websites, there's several that I really like. Of course, I like the Go RVing website. It has a lot of information about camping and campgrounds and that sort of thing.
Now, is that GoRVing.com?
Yes, GoRVing.com,
okay.
Correct. And there's another really good one called roadtripamerica.com. It's a very large road tripping website, articles about all kinds of different places, advice on how to lay out your road trip. There's a fuel calculator. There's all kinds of really good things on that. Another one I really like is mytripjournal.com. This is a journaling website that combines your pictures with your maps, with your journals, and it can be done worldwide. It's not just confined to the United States, and you can go in and query by different destinations and see what other people are writing about trips that they've been on to places. So there's a lot of good information on that website also, and it's a great way to keep your friends and family knowing where you are when you're on your road trip too. So kind of dual purpose there, research and documenting your own trip.
And can they actually go in and see what you document each day to see where you are?
Better than that, Dotsie. Every time you update your website, it just sends out a little email to your predetermined list of friends and family saying, hey, we've updated it, And then at their leisure, they can go check and see what you're doing, look at your pictures, without you cramming all that stuff into everybody's inbox on their mailboxes.
Right.
So,
and what was that web address again?
That was mytripjournal.com.
Okay, great. That's a neat idea. Now, let me ask, these websites and books that you've mentioned, most people don't have a year to do a trip. They might only have a week, 2 weeks, or a month. Can they use those same resources, or are they just based on an annual, not annual, but a whole year trip?
No. In fact, most of the people on Road Trip America and My Trip Journal and even Go RVing certainly do not have traveling for a year in mind.
Okay.
These are oftentimes people that are going for a week or two.
Good, okay.
You know, so they're just as, those kinds of resources are just as appropriate for the shorter trip as a longer trip.
Okay, good, because I think the majority of people are in for the shorter trips and not the longer ones.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to make sure that that was
absolutely
clear. Okay, mm-hmm. You talk about socializing your trip with family and friends. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I think for most people, if you're going on a longer road trip, this is the most difficult piece of it. We're all involved in community activities, things with our families, friends wanting you to do things, et cetera. And I think that's the biggest stumbling block I hear from people is, oh, what would I do about this, that, and the other thing that binds them to their friends and families?
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is that it's not that people don't want you to go. It's that they have this thing about, well, what will happen to me while you're gone?
Right.
Resistance to change and this uncertainty in their own minds, especially, you know, for people like our moms and whatnot. So it's really important to start early and lovingly, telling them firmly that you are going to go on this trip, but making sure that you also tell them how you're going to take care of them while you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And once people understand, A, that you're going, and B, that their needs will be taken care of while you're gone, then they become part of your support system and not part of a roadblock.
Right, right. That's true. Because I know, my dad's elderly and so is my father-in-law, and anytime we go away, you know, we make sure we see him before we're gone. We make sure somebody's going to see him while we're gone and that we call them while we're gone, et cetera. And it is something to think about at this stage of the game.
Right.
Yeah. And then, did you have to come home for anything during your year? I'm just curious.
We actually did. Besides coming home at the holidays, I was talking to my mom one day in the spring, and she just didn't seem herself to me. And I finally drug out of her that she had just been diagnosed with breast cancer at 83.
Aww.
So, you know, and of course, obviously she didn't want to interrupt our trip, but, you know, it was obviously troubling her. So we did just what anybody else who lived far from their parent would do. We got on an airplane. We came home. We helped her through the surgery. You know, we got aftercare all lined up for her. My sister came in for a while. My daughter helped out for a while. And we went back and resumed our trip after a period of time. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, even things like that, don't let them, you know, totally destroy your idea of what you want to accomplish.
Yeah, that must have been hard.
It was hard.
Yeah.
But by then, you know, it was like two-thirds of the way through our trip. She was really committed to us finishing our goal by then, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, you talk about, making this decision on the mode of transportation. We've talked about using the RV, renting, buying. And I have to say, I don't know right now with the prices of airline tickets, but even just a year ago, it was cheaper for my husband and I to fly to Florida to visit our son in college than to drive. It was honestly just cheaper to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And I know that people are really kind of flip-flopping fees against driving, et cetera. Of course, it would have taken us much longer to drive, too, and we really didn't have the time, so we wanted to fly, but it was kind of nice to know that, cheesy peasy, you know. So how about this decision on how to travel?
Well, I think, again, it depends on several different variables. Number one, how long are you going to go for? You know, and again, that's a time commitment you were just speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
And how comfortable, how much stuff do you need around you for your trip? We knew that on a long road trip like that, that we wanted to have more than we could probably fit just in our family automobile. So
mm-hmm.
that was when we, even though we had never been in an RV, we had never, you know, been in campgrounds, you know, that just wasn't part of our experience. We knew that we wanted to be able to have some of our things around us and be able to take, you know, things with us that, you know, you wouldn't, sporting equipment and that sort of thing that you wouldn't necessarily take in your car. So those kinds of things begin to influence your choice of transportation. Do I want to, you know, be in a hotel every night, or would I rather be able to just flop into my bed where I've got my pillow and my down comforter and my sheets and, you know, all of that sort of thing. So you have to kind of think through these things as to what will you be comfortable with for the amount of time that you're going.
Yeah, okay. And then what about technology? You mentioned that. Did most of the places that you travel have, like, hotspots? I mean, I would think Starbucks and, you know, you're able to find places.
It's interesting. When we did our trip, it's been several years ago, the Wi-Fi hotspots and those sorts of things were not nearly as prevalent as they are today.
Mm-hmm.
We most commonly were still on dial-up at that time.
Oh, wow.
But one of the things that is in the second edition of the book that just came out is a whole update on that technology piece of it. You know, almost every place now has Wi-Fi in campgrounds or hotels or motels or, you know, parking lots of libraries. You know, there
are
ways to get on the Internet very easily now.
Mm-hmm.
We also recommend, particularly if you're map-challenged or directionally challenged, taking a GPS system. Whether it's built into your vehicle or whether you take one of the handheld ones, it's really nice to be able to map your way from one place to another. So we talk a lot about those different kinds of, you know, what are you going to do about email, and are you going to keep your own website, or are you going to do something like mytripjournal.com? So various kinds of ways to deal with the technology issues. And, of course, with today's, you know, online banking and
mm-hmm.
all of these sorts of things, it makes paying your bills and taking care of your financial affairs just easy as can be.
Yeah, and I guess you get into that a little bit more in the book. Because,
sure.
I mean, for the kind of trip that you took, you would need all of that support. But, you know, a week or two, you don't really have to do that. But let's talk a little bit about budgets, because we all know it's not inexpensive to travel. I mean, it's not like the 70s when you could go to Europe on $10 a day.
Right, exactly, for sure.
So did you come up with, you know, an amount that you wanted to spend per day or per week or per month, or how did you do that?
Well, when we first started talking about it, I really had no sense of what it might cost us to do something like this. So I just sat down and started figuring out, okay, how much would we budget for gas? How much for vehicle maintenance? How much for food, you know? And I came up with a figure that when I looked at it, I said, okay, that's probably, you know, kind of close to what we spend staying at home, you know,
mm-hmm.
so we probably could do this, okay. I have now, of course, more formalized that in the book, and I also have it in Excel format. So anybody that buys the book also gets the Excel spreadsheet at no extra charge to them. So whether you're going for just a couple of weeks and you want to look through these things, or you have, if you're going for a longer period of time, you know, there's a lot more things to be considered. You know, who's going to take care of things at home? Are you going to rent your house out? How will that work? What are you going to, are you going to sell your house because you're thinking of moving anyway? You know, so all of those kinds of budgetary things come into consideration.
Right. Okay. And did you pay bills online, et cetera, when you were on your trip?
Did I? Pardon me?
Did you pay your bills online, et cetera, when you were on your trip?
Yes. We put as many things as we could onto auto pay so that they would automatically pay. We did lease our house out while we were gone, so
wow.
All of the utility kinds of things, the people that were in our home took care of those. And I spend a lot of time in the book talking about how you go about all of that sort of thing. So that's a big part of deciding how to go. Most of us have to figure out what to do with the house. Plus, if you're going for some long period of time, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months or more, it's not really good to just leave your house empty. You know, things happen. So,
sure.
You know, I kind of try to help people think through all of that.
Okay. And I would have to say that if you haven't been to liveyourroadtripdream.com, you should definitely visit, because there's a lot of information about the book, how to order the book, et cetera. But there's also a great resource button. And, you know, within the site, there's lots of information about Carol's trip, but there's also information and resources for you in planning a trip. So there's recommended books, and there's also recommended websites and
articles about various aspects of it.
Yeah, and the budget worksheet and the packing supply list and those kinds of things. So it's a great resource if you're planning a short trip or a long trip. And then she also has their travel journal on there too, so you can, you know, check that out and
see all the crazy pictures and
yeah, that makes it fun and a little exciting. Okay, let's see, Carol, anything else that you want to share? Any other secrets? Like, for instance, I know when my husband is planning travel, because he usually does most of it, he has certain websites that he uses to track, you know, like hotel rates and airfares and that kind of thing. Do you have any favorites for planning travel, any favorite websites?
Well, we use, because we are AAA members, we use AAA.com quite often.
Mm-hmm.
But I also use, you know, I'm a big Priceline person. If you've never tried Priceline, if you need to stay someplace specific, Priceline does not work for you. But if you want to say, I'm going to Las Vegas, and I don't really care where I stay, but I want it to be at least this kind of a hotel, this level of a quality of hotel, and I don't want to pay more than $80. You can bid on, you know, travel places to stay and cars, you know, if you don't care whether you rent from Alamo or somebody else, you know. You can bid on all of this stuff, and we do that frequently, and we think that that saves us some money.
Yeah, I know my husband uses Priceline, especially for hotel rooms. You know, like in New York City, we've stayed there in Priceline rooms before, and actually we've been very pleased.
Sure.
I mean, it's not just out-of-the-way hotels. A lot of them are, you know, the main chains. So
Yeah, it was funny when we were coming back from Palm Springs this year, we were getting tired, and we thought, oh, let's stay in Redding on our way back. And I have an iPhone, so I have Internet access with me. So I got on Priceline as we were traveling along, and I figured out what, you know, what star rating of hotel we wanted to stay in, and I bid on something and got it right there as we're traveling along the night that we're going to stay.
So. Yeah, that's great. We actually recently did that for a hotel in Baltimore City. A lot of times, the closer to the time that you're actually staying, the better price you get, because they have rooms and they're just lowering the price so that, you know, somebody uses them. It's better than nothing. Right.
Better than nothing. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Some fee is better than just the room sitting there. So, okay, how about car rentals? Any company that you really promote or anything like that for renting cars? Or just, best deal?
I'm kind of agnostic on that. You know, a car is a car. I mean, some people think that that's, you know, they have their own favorites, but that's not a biggie for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, if someone is interested in planning a trip, do you correspond with them if they have questions through your site?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So let's make
yeah.
that known. Okay, so if anybody has any specific questions or
right.
even about any, like, specific state that you were in and what you liked most, that type of thing, you correspond about that through your site.
We do, and I have a newsletter, too. So on the site, you have the opportunity to sign up for our newsletter, and I'll write not only about what's going on with the book and where we're going to be appearing and all of that sort of thing, but
mm-hmm.
I always try to feature a website or some travel piece that I've discovered newly,
mm-hmm.
you know, during that month to focus on. And I always try to pick someone who has written to me and said, we're leaving on our trip, or they had a question about something. So I incorporate those two things into my newsletter.
Okay, good. All right. Anything else you want to add before any other questions?
Well, I think probably the last thing I would say is that if you're going to go on an extended trip, whether it's for a month or a couple of months or a year or more, the most important thing is to pick a date that you're going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because up until the time that you say, we're leaving on this date, it's all just talk and speculation, but saying it makes it real. And that's when you can begin to really focus on, now what are all the things that I'm going to have to do to make this trip real? And that's when you sit down and start reading Live Your Road Trip Dream, because that'll help you pull it all together. So
mm-hmm.
that's the one thing we say is pick your date.
Pick your date. Great advice. Okay. Now, what about traveling abroad? I know this is all about road trips, but do you do any? Do you correspond with people about traveling abroad?
I have done some of that. People will find our website and ask us questions about that. And, of course, the planning part of it, whether you're going on a
right.
sailboat trip, a backpacking trip through Asia, a sightseeing trip in Europe, or a road trip in our country, the planning of it is pretty much the same. It's just the details of what you're planning that are slightly different.
Right. So you do correspond about that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
huh?
Good.
In fact,
good.
I've got a thing sitting here from a website in France, and she and I are going to do some road trip planning for the French, so that'll be kind of fun.
Very good. Okay, let's see. Does anybody on the call have a question, and if so, you need to push 6 so we can hear you. And sometimes it takes a second for somebody to ask a question, but
I have one.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, just curious, of all the places that you traveled, were you ever tempted to just stay there and live there? I mean, did you find somewhere that you loved so much that you just thought, we could live here?
We actually, that was one of the things that was somewhat in the back of our mind when we went on our trip, is let's see if there's any place around the country that we would rather live than where we live. And, of course, we live in one of the most gorgeous states in the country, in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But we were open to looking at other places. We loved Wisconsin. We loved North Carolina. We thought both of those states were gorgeous states. But in the end, our family is here, and, of course, that makes a big decision for lots
yeah,
of us.
It does. Well, I just was curious because I think I've traveled a little bit over the United States, and there's so many beautiful, wonderful places to live.
There are. There are great places everywhere. And it's interesting, there is no perfect place to live.
You're right.
You know, it not only depends upon what's important to you, but every place has either humidity, tornadoes,
mm-hmm.
hurricanes, volcanoes. You know, there's
mentioned my hometown.
Snow or, you know, rain or whatever, you know. So there is no perfect place.
Well, thank you.
You're sure welcome.
Yeah, that's a good question. So you were considering moving but then chose not to just because of family, is that right? Or
well, I'm not sure that we were really considering it, but we were open to the idea of looking to see, gee, is there any other place that maybe we would like to move to for a while, or, you know, what would it take to get us to move somewhere else? So
Yeah. Now you mentioned Wisconsin. I've been to Wisconsin. I have a friend who's at the university there in Madison, and they live right on the water, right there.
Beautiful.
The college sits on.
Yeah.
And oh, it is so nice, and it's the town itself is so friendly and family oriented. I really loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then North Carolina too is another favorite because I'm in Maryland, so North Carolina is not far. We've been there a few times. In fact, my sister lives there now. So, okay. Someone emailed a question that just wanting to know what was your favorite place and why.
That's probably, there's two most common questions that we get. One is, how do you be with your spouse 24/7 for some long period of time? And, of course, Phil would tell you that it's learning to say yes, dear, in a very sincere manner. But the other most common question that we get is, you know, what was our favorite place? And, of course, when you go for that kind of a long trip, you can't pick just one.
No,
but I'll give you two of the things that we really loved. If you've not been to southern Utah and seen those national parks there, Arches, Canyonlands, Bryce, the other one's escaping my memory right now, but and even the north rim of the Grand Canyon is easily accessible from there. You cannot believe, it's different than any other place in this country, and it's absolutely spectacular. So we really highly recommend, you know, and you can do that group of parks in a week, you know.
Okay.
So that would be, you know, a week to 10 days. So that would be one place that we really, really like. The other place that we really loved was the whole Cape Cod, Newport, Rhode Island, all of that along that coastal area there. We thought that was another just absolutely beautiful part of our country. So, and there's great places everywhere, but those were two of our favorites.
Right, right. Did you go to Chatham at all? Do you remember Cape Cod?
I don't remember that specifically.
Yeah.
We were all along the Cape there, and on a whim one day, it was like 4 hours or something on the ferry to go out to Nantucket, but we heard that there was a 20-minute flight that you could jump on over there. So it cost us a few extra dollars, but we got to spend the whole day over on Nantucket and had a beautiful flight over and back. So we just did crazy things like that on our trip, too.
Oh, sounds great. And I guess you're both healthy. Did you have any health concerns while you were away?
Well, Phil did have a suspicious mole that we had to have removed down in Alabama, I think we were, somewhere in the deep south, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that turned out to be fine. And I broke my ankle on the trip in Madison, Wisconsin, actually outside of Madison, Wisconsin. We were at the Frank Lloyd Wright Estate down in Spring Green, and I was walking, you know, composing my pictures as I usually am, listening to the tour guide, and there was a hole that had just been kind of mowed even in the grass, and I stepped down in that, and I went down, and so we spent 5 weeks on the trip with me in a cast. So.
And you kept on going.
Everyone thought we were coming home, but we just, you know, it just altered your plans a little bit, and I learned how to navigate on crutches, and
oh my goodness.
When we couldn't do some of the hiking, biking, you know, golfing kinds of things that we might have done, but we did other things, you know, that we could get wheelchairs in museums, and it was the fall, just the start of football season, and Phil had really wanted to go to a game at the University of Michigan. We got handicapped seats. We would never have seen that game if it hadn't have been for me and the cast. So
you just,
you know, there's positive things out of everything.
Yeah, you just, sounds like you just stayed focused on the positive. Well, one more question before we go, and that is, did you meet anyone on the trip that you've stayed in touch with? Because I know a lot of people when they travel are really interested in meeting either other tourists or people who live in the town and then kind of, you know, striking up these friendships and staying in touch, which is so easy to do now with the internet and cell phones.
There are a couple of people that we met along the way that we have stayed in touch with. in some degree, we've met a lot of people through the book, you know, people that we continue to correspond with.
Right.
The people that we have subsequently rented our house out again when we went on another trip, and we've stayed in touch with those people, you know. So we're big people and enjoy those kinds of friendships also.
Yeah, now I would think another teleseminar could be renting your house out, because I'm sure you have to have things in great order to do something like that.
Absolutely. In fact, sitting on one of my to-do things here is I'm putting together a little e-booklet on how to market your house so that you feel comfortable going away and leaving someone in your home. And I'll tell you, one of the little tips there that really made the difference for us was it wrapped into the cost of leasing our house, I included a housekeeper. And not just because I thought the people wouldn't take care of my house, but then you've got somebody who's on your team in your house every couple of weeks.
Wow, that is brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah, and they know your cell phone number, so, you know, if there were any problems, we would have known it right away.
Yeah, great idea. Well, you know, we just heard of someone last night renting their house for the Masters and getting like $8,500. And then we have friends that live in Saratoga Springs, and they don't rent their house, but some of their neighbors rent their homes for thousands of dollars during August.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And so it's also a way, I mean, it's a way to keep your home secure, but it's also a way to make money, you know, while you're traveling.
Absolutely. And really that made the difference for us, because even though we are retired, our mortgage isn't completely paid off. So having somebody come in and be able to basically make that mortgage payment for us, keep the house safe and secure. We even transferred our golf club membership to them while they were here, because they were also golfers, so they got to take advantage of that. We have done house exchanges with people. In fact, we have some friends that live not far from Augusta, and I was just corresponding with him this morning saying, gee, let's do a house exchange or something, because they'd just love to get out of there during Augusta, you know.
And you wouldn't mind going. You can go to the early round. Yeah.
In fact, we did a house exchange with them just this last fall. We went down and golfed some of the golf courses around there, and they came out here, and they've got children in Portland, so they got to see their kids, and we got to have a little golf getaway.
Yeah, well, next time you need to plan it during the practice rounds of the Masters.
Exactly.
I know you can get tickets to that. I don't know if you would get tickets to the Masters, but
right.
Well, Carol, it's been a pleasure. Do you have anything else you want to share before we sign off?
Well, one last thought would be, when you get ready to take off on your trip, not only be sure and send me an email, because I'd love to hear other people that are taking off on living their road trip dreams, but make yourself some kind of quasi-business cards so that you can give those to people that you meet along the way, give them to your family and friends, and they would have your website address on, your My Trip Journal address, your cell phone numbers, all of those kinds of things to make it easy for people to stay in touch with you. It's a very fun thing.
That's a great idea. Nice and simple, but a great idea. Very good. Okay, you want to give us your web address one more time?
Sure. It's www.roadtripdream.com, and we do have an 800 number for calls. People would be interested in calling us. It's 888-522-TRIP. So love to hear people doing their road trip dream.
Very good. All right, Carol, thanks so much for being on the call with us today, and I'll be in touch.
No problem. Thanks so much for having us, Dr.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.